We'll pick off where Dalton stopped, starting in verse 25. It says, Now his older son was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house and heard music and dancing, and he called out to one of the servants and asked what the things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this your son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Good morning. I'm glad everybody is here this morning. Chris is out of town. He's with his father-in-law. They're celebrating his 50th year of full-time preaching. So he wanted to be with the family, be there, and listen to his father-in-law preach. So you're stuck with me today, but I do want to apologize. If I start messing with my eye, I got a contact this past Thursday, just one. The other eye was fine, but the eye doctor gave me one contact. Still getting used to it. It's strange. If y'all that have contacts, I appreciate that. But it's strange. It feels like something's always in my eye, which it is. So if I start itching it or something, it's normal. Don't think anything's wrong, but we're going with it. If you will, go ahead and open your Bible to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter today. And we're going to be picking out some different points. Just Luke chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them in parable, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." I love these stories, these parables. They're great. I'm excited to talk about them. But let's look at the lost sheep. I did not know this until I started looking at it. But there are two accounts of the lost sheep, or two different stories, two versions of the lost sheep. One is found in Matthew chapter 18. If you will, go ahead and turn there as well. We're going to look at that. We're just going to look at verse 12, though. Matthew 18, verse 12. There's two different versions. And here's the second version. Matthew 18, verse 12. "What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that has went astray?" We have two different words here. Matthew's version, the sheep goes astray. In Matthew's version, the shepherd represents God, because God is our shepherd. And obviously, we go astray sometimes. In Luke's version, the sheep is lost. In Luke's version, we're the shepherd. Because God can't be the shepherd, because God is the perfect shepherd. And a perfect shepherd doesn't lose his sheep. So we represent the shepherd in Luke's version. We lose the sheep every now and then. How do you lose a sheep? By not noticing it was missing. I'm not a shepherd. I don't know what it's like to look after 100 sheep. I'd assume it's not easy. That's a lot of sheep to take care of. That's a lot of sheep to notice. But a good shepherd knows all of his sheep, and he knows when one goes missing. But with our 100 sheep in our lives, we might not notice something's gone missing. We might just continue our lives not really noticing that anything's wrong or anything needs to change or anything needs to be found. But we just might go along thinking that everything's fine. So Luke's parable poses this question to us: what person or thing of value would be missing from our life? A family member could be missing. Someone that you might have had an argument with, or a family member that's gone away. It could be a friend that you've, you know, might have lost contact with, one that might have stepped away from the church, or one that just isn't close to you anymore. Or it might be your joy. It could be the joy that you have with a certain person or doing something. It's just your joy is gone, and you're not as happy as you usually are. And that could be missing. Our lives are full of 100 sheep, and it is possible for something to slip away. It's possible for our friends to slip away, our family to slip away, or our joy to slip away, or for us ourselves to slip away. We look at the shepherd. As we read earlier in the shepherd, once the shepherd noticed that something was lost, he goes out immediately to find it. And I love that part. He leaves the 99, he goes out until he finds that one missing shepherd. And once he finds one missing shepherd, he rejoices. You see, the shepherd does not become stuck in self-pity. He chooses to act. So many times in life, we get stuck in our self-pity when we lose something. The shepherd had a choice. When he noticed that the one was missing, he had the choice to look at his sheep and say, "Hey, you know what? I still got 99. I'm good. Don't worry about it. That's a lot of sheep." He could have sat around. He could have had his self-pity. He could have sat there and said, "You know, he's not really a good shepherd. He doesn't deserve that one sheep because he couldn't even keep up with it." But instead, he takes action and he goes and he finds that sheep and he brings it back. He makes his life whole again. He is determined to make his life whole again. Sorry, I get ahead of myself sometimes. He's determined to make his life whole again by going out, taking action, and finding the lost sheep instead of sitting around blaming himself or sitting around content because he has 99 others. Just like us today, when we find something's missing, we can sit around and we can be content that we have everything else in our lives. We can be upset because, hey, I'm not a good enough friend to keep that friend with me. Or I'm not a good enough person to keep my joy with me. But instead, he went out and found it and he brought it back to make his life whole. Instead, we go out and we find those things and bring them back to make our life whole. Once the sheep is found, the party is thrown. And you'll see a common factor. What can we take from this? We are called to take action, as I mentioned earlier. Once we notice what is missing, we are encouraged to use all of our energy to find it. The shepherd dropped everything, and he searched for that sheep. And he wasn't going to stop until he found it. And when he did, he rejoiced. And people think that the shepherd is crazy to leave the 99. I actually saw this comment on Facebook, so it's not mine whatsoever, but I thought it was a great comment. It does seem a little crazy to leave your other 99 sheep unattended for, to go out into the wilderness, to go out into the mountains or wherever it was lost to find it. Because most likely if I tried to do that, I'd come back and the other 99 would be gone. And then I'd be searching for the other 99. And we think it's crazy. Well, why would that shepherd leave the 99 and search for that one? And it's not crazy until you think, well, what if you're that one? What if you're that one lost sheep? Because if I'm that one lost sheep, I want the shepherd looking for me. I don't want him to be content with the 99. I don't want him to sit there and think that he's a bad shepherd. I want him to come and search for me. So it's not that crazy to think that the shepherd would leave the other ones to come find you until you're that one that's missing. As we go on, go ahead and turn back to Luke chapter 15. We'll be looking at the lost coin, starting in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep under the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It's not as a long story, but there's still a lot of meaning to it. When I was younger, my sister was playing travel softball. And I told my mom I was going to tell this story, so she's probably embarrassed about it. But they were doing a fundraiser for the softball tournament. For those parents that do any travel sports, you understand it costs a good bit of money. They were doing a fundraiser to raise all this money, and I don't remember what they were selling, but they were selling something. And I remember Mom had like a sandwich baggie full of checks. because she had sold whatever they were selling, and all the checks were piling in. So she had that sandwich baggie full of checks. And I believe me and my dad were in the backyard, and she comes running outside in a panic. She said, "The checks are gone." What are you talking about? She couldn't find that. She lost the checks. For like the next 2 days, myself and my dad dug through the trash. Like, we just kept our trash bags, and we dug through those. We emptied all of them out. We strode them everywhere to make sure the checks weren't in the trash can. We looked all over the house. We tore the house apart. She looked in my room, my sister's room. I mean, she looked everywhere. She couldn't find the checks. Until a couple of weeks later, me and Dad were probably thrown in the backyard, and she comes running out, and, like, she's just all lit up. She goes, "Guys, I found the checks. It was in my bill drawer." She had, I don't know if y'all are, I'm not, like, an adult, but I have this little, like, bill folder, I guess you'd say, but she had a whole drawer. I guess she spends a little bit more than I do, but it was in her bill drawer, and she was just so excited. And I never really understood the story of the lost coin until I kind of saw her joy on her face when she found it. That this lady lost one of her 10 coins. We can imagine the panic that has set in as the lady realizes that she lost her coin. We don't want to lose anything, especially money. When she figures out she loses it, she panics. It would be as if we lost a day's pay. If you do the calculations, it comes out to about a day's pay is what one of those coins were. It'd be on average, the average American makes around $200 a day. But to her, it would be worth a lot more, because not only is it around that, but in her case, most likely no one in her town had coins. Most commentaries, most scholars that talk about it say that the town was actually pretty poor that she would have been in, that they most likely didn't use the currency that everybody else used. They're usually did everything on their own. They made their own clothes. They made their own food. They made their own homes. They didn't really use the currency. So for her to have these 10 coins was actually kind of a big deal. And I love it, because not only that, but she loses the coin, so she lights a lamp to find that coin. And not only that, but the lamp costs money to use. The oil with the lamp's not free. She had to spend some money to find her money that she had lost. And when she does find it, we see joy. You can also imagine the joy that she has when she finds that coin. Just like the lost coin, God will light a lamp to find us when we are lost. When we go astray, God will light that lamp so He can find us in a dark room. Unlike the sheep, the coin could not come back. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but coins do not have legs. And it's not going to roll back to you. It's up to us to go find that lost coin. It's up to us to find the lost things in our lives, because it just can't roll back into our lives. We have to go find it. The coin is found and a party is thrown. And the lady is full of joy. The last one that we're going to look at today is the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, and we've read most of it, verses 11 through 32. We're not going to read it again, but we'll go over the story in brief. The man had two sons, an older son and a younger son. The younger son wanted his inheritance, and he wanted to take it, and he wanted to kind of go on his own. He was done with them. He just wanted the money, and he was going to run with it. But he didn't know much about the real world. He didn't know much about life. He didn't really know much about money. He took the inheritance. I'm ahead of myself again. He leaves home. He uses up all of his money. When I went to college, my first semester, I worked a job over the summer, and I got paid decent. And I was really excited about it. Dad's like, "Hey, you know, this money has to last you the entire year until you can get a job next summer." Yeah, Dad, don't worry about it. I'd never had money my entire life. As far as, like, on my own money. Like, my dad would give me $20 to go fill up the tank of gas or something. But this was the first time I've had my own money. Guys, I ate like a king for an entire semester. Sushi, steak. I mean, any expensive food, you name it. If I wanted to go buy something, I'd go buy it. And then he kind of noticed it about halfway through the first semester. He called me and said, "Hey, Hunter, I just want you to know I was looking at your bank statement. It's looking kind of low. You might want to be careful what you're spending your money on." All right, Dad. Back to my sushi. I was already eating when you called me. And he kept doing it, and he called me one more time and said, Hunter, this, you know, it's later on in the semester. He goes, Hunter, I just want to warn you, you know, you're almost out. Well, I ran out of that money halfway through the semester. So I had another half a semester before I could get a job and make more money. So I kind of came up to him during Christmas time, like, hey, Dad, can I have some money? I'm out. He goes, no, you had money from your job, and you didn't know how money works, and now you're out of it. So I've learned a money lesson. Don't spend all of your money on food. Save some for the rest of the semester. I will say, though, the food was really good. But I learned the lesson to save the money. Just like him, he went out and he spent all of his money. That he didn't have anything. He finds himself at rock bottom when he notices that the pigs that he's feeding are eating more or eating better than he is. And that's something sad to realize. That the pigs around you are eating better than you are. So a breakdown in relationship. We'll get to the end of the story here in a little bit. But a breakdown in relationship. What would you do in this situation? You had just left home. You took your inheritance. And you spent it all. And you realize that, hey, I need to go back home because my life's not that great. I need to go back to my father because it's not good. Will pride get in your way? Will stubbornness get in your way? Because a lot of times people have that pride that they don't want to go back to their family. They don't want to go back to the people that are taking care of them because they don't want to really have to depend on them. They're just too prideful to do that. That they got into the situation on their own and they're going to get out of it on their own. Or are you too stubborn? And with stubbornness can come you just continuing down that rock bottom path to drugs, to alcohol, to everything else in the world, all the sin in the world. And you can just be stubborn and not turn around. Or, clicked one to me. Or, you can choose to turn around and go back to your home where your father is and make peace with him. We say so many times that we have so many friends, but we're still so alone. I'm not sure if many of y'all know this, but next week we have a family retreat. The family retreat's at Camp Maywood. We're talking about social media. And we're talking about how it impacts, some good, some bad, in our everyday lives. And I got thinking about it and the relationships that it brings, but all the fake relationships it brings as well. That we can have 100, 200, 300, however many friends on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any other social media, but not all of them are your friends. Not all of them do you have a true relationship with. But the true relationship people that you have are your real friends, are your family, your church family, and yourself. And we have to realize that those real relationships are the ones that are going to matter. When we do hit rock bottom, those are the people that you can turn around to that will accept you back. And that's something that's good. Luke 15:18. I'll just read it real quick, but it shows what the son decides to do. He doesn't show pride. He's not stubborn. He shows humility. Luke 15:18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you, or I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. And the story goes on from there. He showed humility. He went up to his father and said, hey, I want you to take me back, but not as your son, as a hired servant. I can't imagine being in this situation. I can't imagine going up to my father and saying, hey, I don't, just take me as one of your workers. I don't even want to be considered your son. Just, I want back. But the father does something extremely good. He greets him with open arms. Not only that, he runs to him when he sees him coming to the house. He throws on the best robe. He throws on a ring. He kills the fatted calf. They throw a party because the son came back. That he was lost and now he is found. How many of us are waiting for someone or something to return home? How many of us are waiting for a relationship to be rebuilt or joy to be refound and we're just sitting there waiting? And the father runs out and greets him with an open hug, or with open arms. Lost time can't be regained. but we have not lost hope. Or, but we have still not lost hope. The lost time that the son was away from his father, that can't be fixed. The time that you haven't had your joy can't be fixed. That time can't come back. But it's keeping the hope that the joy will come back. It's keeping hope that his son will come back. Because the father could have kept him at home. The father could have said, no, you're not getting the inheritance. Like, I'll give it to you when I'm going to give it to you. But the father didn't want the son's body at home. The father wanted the son's heart at home. Because if he would have kept him, he would have had his body, but his heart wouldn't have been with his father. But instead, he let him go. He let him experience life, we can say. He hit rock bottom, and he knew where his heart needed to be. And it was back home, and it's back with his father. And we see that. God never loses hope in us. And that's something that we need to always realize. Holding out hope, the son returns, the party is thrown. All three stories, a party is thrown in celebration of someone returning. And it's a great feast, and everything is going good. The fatted calf, like I've already said, the robe, the ring. This parable gives hope to those who long for reconciliation. But the older son rejects. I read that earlier. Let's look at that one more time. Starting in verse 29, but he answered his father, look, for these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And even before that, he says, but he was angry and refused to go in. He didn't want to go into that party with his brother. Because he stood by his dad's side, and he hasn't gained anything from it. But he's not seeing the big picture. See, the big picture is his brother is home. He was lost, and he is now found. But the older brother didn't want that. The older brother wanted to, you know, get his reward for staying with his father. And he said, you know, what's mine is yours. You'll get your reward, but enjoy that your brother's back home. And that's so great. The younger brother's story needs to be told in the streets. The younger brother's story needs to be told that, hey, even when you hit rock bottom, you can bounce back up. Even when you hit rock bottom and you throw your family away, they'll still welcome you back. Even when you've lost all your joy and you're just not happy, you can find your joy again. But the older brother's story needs to be told in the church. Often we see so many people come back from a sinful life and we often reject them. We often think that, hey, you know, they've already lived their life. They've messed up. They can't do any good. So let's just not really pay them much of attention. Instead, we need to welcome them with open arms and celebrate that they were lost, but now they've been found. And that's what we have an opportunity to do today. All three parables in Luke 15 concern the restoration of lost relationships. Ultimately, God seeking out human beings who were lost to Him and bringing them back into a loving relationship with Him. We have choices. We made the choices just like the prodigal son did. He made a choice to walk away, and the dad made a choice to let him walk away. The son made the better choice to come back, and the dad had a choice to welcome him with open arms. And just like anything, we all mess up. We all fall away. None of us are perfect. But we all have hope to be perfect. We all have hope of eternity in heaven with God. And today, if you aren't baptized, if you're not part of God's kingdom, today's a perfect day to inherit that. If you have been baptized and you've walked away from God, if you're eating with the pigs today, now's your time to come and rejoice with us as we welcome you with open arms and we get your life back right with God. So if you have any need today, please come as we stand and sing.